Good morning. I can't believe it. It's my first opportunity I've had to be able to speak in our new facility. And it's so nice to be here. I remember very distinctly where I was in Australia on the day of September 11. I was at a campsite out in the middle of like nowhere. I mean, it was like one of those, it was like one of the retreat campsites, like kind of a bit like SoCal, something like that, but it wasn't our big camp meeting. One of my friends woke me up in the middle of the night saying, "Cal, you've got to come and see this. You'll never believe what's going on." And we sat for hours around this little television, this little snowy television, watching the events of September 11 unfold. And as I sat and watched that, I thought, what is the world coming to? The world just seems like such a messed up place. Like Angela and Leo and Dennis have said, today is a good day to remember. To remember the events that happened, but also to remember those who lost their lives and those who gave their lives trying to save those in those towers. I think most young boys, at least, go through a stage where they want to be a policeman or a firefighter or an EMT guy. And I think, man, that is a hero's job. Because you are going and putting yourself on the line in the hopes of saving someone else. This morning, I want to talk about goodness. And I'm kind of thinking this is perhaps the best day to talk about goodness. Because in a world as messed up as ours is, where things like September 11, 9 years ago, can happen, we need some goodness, don't we? In a world as messed up and as crazy as ours, we need goodness. And I've got to be honest with you. I think I've found a little goodness. As far as clarification goes, this morning I'll be using the word Snickers a lot. Please do not be confused with the word sneakers, Angela. I told Angela the title of my sermon this morning, the title being Glow in the Dark Snickers. And she said, "Do you have a pair of glow in the dark sneakers?" I'm like, "No, not sneakers. Snickers." As I said, I think I have found some goodness in the world. Snickers bars. I love these things. Is anyone else here a fellow Snickers lover? Are you guys getting a little hungry? Thinking. Well, it just so happens that I this morning, out of the generous of my heart, actually it was my wife's idea, so blame her, I have here some Snickers. And I hopefully have enough for a lot of people. Would anyone like a Snickers this morning? Some chocolatey, nutty goodness? Admittedly, I just like this because I'm prolonging the agony. Everyone can taste the chocolate and the nougat or whatever it is, the caramelly stuff. You can taste the goodness. Snickers. No, I'm just kidding. Would you like some? All right. Could I have the deacon? May the deacons come forward. we have one deacon. Let's grab a couple. Now, would you like to? Yeah, only the deacons are receiving Snickers this morning. No. Would you maybe collect those plates there, and yeah, maybe we can distribute We can distribute. If you would like a Snickers, I would like you to raise your hand high in the sky. Just grab some of those. Oh, there's quite a few. One Snickers per person. All right, there you go. If they're falling on the floor, it's okay. They are wrapped. All right. Okay, yeah, go for it. Take a few more. All right. All right. Now, there are rules to this. You must clean up after yourself. I've been trying to teach the... Thanks. Thank you, sir. I've been trying to teach the youth the importance of cleaning up after themselves. So, yes, take your wrappers with you. Snickers. Some goodness in life. Except I must confess... Notice I get the big one. That's because I'm standing up the front and everyone has to see it, right? No, that's my excuse. Anyway, works for me. As I think about Snickers, I think, wow, that kind of looks all right. It smells good. Let me see.
That is good. That is really good.
Sorry? No. This isn't communion. This isn't a strange take. No, excuse me, I just spat. Salivating. The Snickers is so good. When we think about Snickers, I'm going to talk with my mouth full. That's incredibly rude. That's why I bought some water. When we think about Snickers... and how good they are. One of the strange things about them is that everybody seems to want one. Well, most people. I should have actually prequeled my Snickers handout with, if you have peanut allergies, do not eat Snickers. Because that will not work for you. And I'm sorry I didn't bring the carrots for those who don't like chocolate. But why are Snickers good? Why does everybody want Snickers or chocolate or something? And this got me thinking, because I'm like thinking, Snickers are good, Snickers are great, I love Snickers. I get excited, I salivate when I think about Snickers, I salivate when I've eaten Snickers. Why isn't God more like Snickers? If Snickers are good, and I want Snickers all the time, and I like to eat Snickers all the time. Why isn't God more like Snickers? Yeah, God, because let's face it, the Bible says that God is good. And in fact, God is healthy for you as well, you know, unlike Snickers. Snickers are good and unhealthy, but God is good for you as well as good. Why is it that we as people tend to avoid God so much then? Why is it that we as people tend to not desire God as much as we desire Snickers? What's the deal with that? Turn with me in your Bibles. I must confess, I'm kind of at a loss this morning because I'm used to my little clicker and the things popping up on the screen. So I'm kind of lost. But because we don't have the screen, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 34. This is perhaps, now that you've tasted some goodness this morning, this verse to me is a very appropriate one. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. Any guesses as to what this might say? I heard it somewhere. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says this. Taste that Snickers. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of us have had experiences connecting with God. Think about that time in your life when God has just seemed so real to you. And that time when you just felt like you were on fire for God. What happened? You had a little taste of what God was about, right? You had a little taste of who God was, and you saw that it was good. And it got you going. For those of you who may not yet have experienced that, I want to encourage you to keep looking, keep searching, hang in there, because when you taste and see, you will see that God is good. But as I talk this morning, I want you to keep this verse in mind and the goodness of Snickers and the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, as people, I guess we have this thing that God is good. And so we kind of have this guilt thing sometimes that maybe we should want God more, like the Snickers. Like I want Snickers all the time, I should want God all the time. I should want to connect with God all the time. But we have a problem. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't feel like I want God all the time. Can you relate? Sometimes I feel like God, yeah, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, but I'm doing it anyway. I don't want to hear that now, God. I struggle. And as I like to do, there's a story in Scripture which I think helps to illustrate this point. And it's found in the book of Exodus. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 32. And we're going to go through a story there. This is quite a lengthy story, but I'm going to take some snippets here and some snippets there. It's a well-known story as well. Exodus 32. To set the scene a little bit, Moses has taken the children of Israel up out of Egypt with, obviously, God's help. They've come along and they've come to the foot of Mount Sinai. And God says, Moses, I want you to come up here on top of this mountain and you're going to spend some time with me. So Moses goes up to the top of the mountain. And Moses is up there for some time because God and Moses are connecting. And God is saying, Moses, this is what I would like my people to be like. These are the things I would like them to do. And Moses has been up on the mountain for quite a while. And meanwhile, back at the camp, as they say, people start to wonder, have you any idea what happened to Moses? Have you seen him around at all lately?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen Moses for ages. You have any idea where he is?
Well, last I saw him, I think he was up on that mountain. You know the one with the vulture circling overhead?
Well, what do you think? Do you think he's died of lack of water and thirst? It's been like 40 days.
Well, maybe.
Well, what are we going to do about this?
And so, the people, have you ever noticed when people get into groups, they tend to make silly choices or poor choices?
Young people, I'm looking at you. No, I'm sorry, I can't.
But have you ever hung out with a friend, right? You hang out with a friend and then someone goes, hey, check this out. This would be the best idea ever. And you're like, yeah, right on. And then you go and do it and you're like, what was I thinking? You know what I'm talking about? That happens to me a lot still. So whose idea was it to go paintballing tomorrow? Yeah, okay. Anyway. So the people decide we need to do something about this. Moses is obviously dead. We need a new leader. And obviously this God that Moses was talking about, I don't know what's going on there. So they go up to Aaron and they say, Aaron, you're Moses' brother. You should know. You have a brotherly connection, right? We don't know what's happened to Moses. We think he's dead. What do you think? Aaron's like, and before he can speak, they say, what we want you to do is to make us a god. Make for us a new god. Because this god seems to have abandoned us because he took his leader Moses and went off to the mountain and played with the vultures, whatever. And Aaron says, okay then, sounds like a good plan. Now, what on earth was Aaron thinking? Maybe he was scared. Maybe he was scared by the people. Maybe he was just kind of like, well, yeah, you're right. I don't know what's happened to Moses. Maybe he's moved on. But Aaron says, what I want you to do is, wait, where's the offering plates? What I want you to do is put all of your jewelry that's gold in the offering plates. We should do that now, shouldn't we? No, sorry. Help pay for the new church. I'm just kidding. but Aaron says, give me all of your gold. And so Aaron gets all the gold, builds a hot fire, melts it down, and he carefully handcrafts this golden calf. It must have been some wondrous metal worker or something to make a calf out in the desert. However he did it, but he did it. And so they make this golden calf. And then they go about, I guess, worshipping it. In there, though, Aaron must come to some sort of, he must have that, you know when you're about to do something stupid and you hear that voice that says, don't do it, don't do it, what are you thinking? I wonder if Aaron had that. Because Aaron then says, tomorrow I declare a feast. To who? Are you following along in your Bibles? To the Lord. He says, tomorrow, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to have a feast to the Lord. And so they set up this big banquety thing, I guess as much as you can out in the middle of the desert. And they have a big feast to the Lord. They offer sacrifices and they do all the right things. They do all the good things. And then the Bible tells us that they got up from their feast and they had a massive party. They had a massive party, dancing and singing and praising the golden cow. So here we are in church. What happens after church? Hey, let's have a big party, man. Yeah, dude. Hey. Check out that golden calf. How cool is that? That's what happens. And God, who is God and knows all, says, Moses, we got a problem. You know those people who we brought up out of Egypt together? They've forgotten or they've really fallen off the bandwagon. They have no idea what they're doing. Dancing around a stupid little golden calf. A piece of metal that does nothing for him. And God gets mad at the people. Understandably. Because, I mean, let's face it, God's kind of moved heaven and earth in a sense to get them out of Egypt. He at least moved the Red Sea. And God says to Moses, Moses, if this is what the people are going to be like, I don't think I can send my presence with you. I don't think I can go with these people. And Moses is like, but Egypt, remember the plagues? Remember the Red Sea? Remember everything that you've done to this point? What do you mean you cannot go with us? What do you mean you just wish they were all dead? In a sense. God says, I just don't think I can go with you because people are just so unstable. They're messed up. And I'm sure that by the time you get to the promised land, there won't be any of you left because I will have zapped you all In a sense, that's kind of what God says if you read. I will have been so frustrated with you that there may be none of you left. And Moses, I don't know, there must have been something, there was obviously something very special about Moses, because Moses then says, God, remember who you are. Remember the fact that you chose us and that you said you loved us and that you said you wanted to make us a nation. And God says, I got no problem with you, Moses, but it's these other turkeys that I have an issue with. And Moses says, you know what, God? If you're going to blot those people out, take me out too. And God says, Moses, I would love to make you a great nation, but because this is your request, I'll spare these people. The story continues that God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and says, Moses, go down, give it to these people, sort them out, and then continue on your journey. So Moses, as you know, is coming down the mountain. And Moses and Joshua are together. And Joshua turns to Moses and says, Moses, Moses, there's a battle going on in camp. Moses is like, yeah, I don't know about that. And Joshua's like, oh, yeah, hang on a minute. No, it's not a battle. It's singing. It's dancing. And as they come down the mountain, what should they see but all the children of Israel dancing around this stupid golden calf? Now, excuse me, growing up, I always thought that Moses was just like, oh, man, and this is so bad. And he drops the Ten Commandments and they break, which, as Nick reminded me this morning, made Moses the worst sinner of all because he broke all Ten Commandments at once. Anyway, sorry, couldn't help it. But the Bible says it's not the fact that Moses was shocked and awed that made him drop the commandments. He was furious, and in his anger, he picks those things up and he smashes them. And they break into pieces. And he says, what have you done? And Moses, strangely enough, knows who to go to straight away. He goes to his brother Aaron. And he says, Aaron, what's going on? You have caused these people to sin greatly against God. And Aaron says, look, Moses, you're up on the mountain a long time. And so the people came to me and said, we need a God to worship. So Aaron says this, and this is a quote from the Bible. Aaron says, I got them to get all their stuff together. That's not, but this is. And he says, I threw the gold into the fire and out popped this golden calf. So magically, somehow, mystically, in this fire, this golden calf formed itself and just came out. To cut a long story short, because of this incident with the golden calf, many Israelites died by the hands of the Levites and by the hand of God. But then something interesting happens. Moses goes back to the mountain because, let's face it, he needs some new commandments, seeing as he smashed the last lot. And so he goes to the mountain and he intercedes and he pleads for these bad people. And God says to Moses, because it is you who have requested this, I'll continue to lead these people. And Moses and God have this moment. And Moses, who talks to God as a man, talks to each other face to face. Moses says something very interesting. (Clears throat) Exodus chapter, where is it? Let me find it here. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. Check this out. Moses asks something very interesting. Did I get that right? I'm in Psalm. That's why I can't find it. Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19 says this. Moses said, "Show me your glory." Moses says to the Lord, he says, "God, you are so great. You are such a good God. But show me your glory. Show me what is so fantastic about you." What does God say in response? Does God say, "All right, I will show how brilliantly bright and wonderful I am"? No. Does God say, "Let me open up the throne room of heaven so you can see the awesome place where I sit"? No. God says this, verse 19, "I will cause all of my" what? "All of my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." Moses asked to see the glory of God. He asked to see what's so great about you, God. And God says, "I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you." And the story goes on. And God says, there's one small catch to this. "No one can see my face and live. So here's what I'm going to do, Moses. Over there, or just over here by me, is this little rock. I want you to go and stand on there, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come past. This is how I'm showing you my goodness. This is what God says. This is how I'm showing you my goodness. I'm going to come past, and I'm going to put my hand over you so that you cannot see me. And then as God says, as I walk past, I will remove my hand after I've gone past, and you will see my back. Because no one can see my face and live." When God says he's good, I think he's darn good. Because let me face it, if I were God and I had a bunch of people who rebelled against me, I'd say, "Zap, you're out." But God says, "No, I will withhold my hand. I won't hurt you. I will lead you. I will stay connected with you." And when Moses says, "God, show me your glory," I would say, "Dude, forget it. It's just not going to happen. You can't see." But God, in his goodness, takes Moses, the murderer, at one point in his life, and says, "I will show you as much as you can bear." And God does what he said. Moses goes to the corner of the rock. He covers him. And get this. As the Lord walks past, the Lord speaks his own name. Listen to what God says. Verse 34, chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, being Moses, and proclaimed the Lord's name. Verse 6, he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. You want to know what God's like? This is what God says about himself. right here. This is God proclaiming his name. Who is he? Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And yet, God says, there will be consequences for sin. After this experience, you remember what happens to Moses? Moses, who is just gobsmacked by God, just goes, whoa, man, what an experience. He gets the new commandments, which he's chiseled out the stones for and God's written on again with his finger. And he takes them back to the people. And as Moses comes down the mountain, something is different about Moses. You remember this? The people are like, whoa, what's that? Is like the sun setting already? No, dude, it's like midday. The sun's up there. What's that? And as they look, Moses' face is brilliantly bright. It's shining so bright that it hurts their eyes to look at it. And they're like, at first they're afraid. Is this, has Moses died for real? And is this a ghost? Moses is like, no, it's me. What's the deal? Because Moses had no idea that his face was glowing. And the people kept complaining to Moses, Moses, we can't look at you. And so Moses had to put a veil over his face. But I want to ask you this question. What was it that caused Moses to have a glowing face? Wasn't it the goodness of God? God said, I'll pass all my goodness before you. And that's what he did. And Moses' face glowed. Moses had tasted, and he had seen that the Lord was good. And he was changed because of it. Moses took a bite of the healthy Snickers, and he knew it was good. But here's where we run into an issue. And I think this is why God is not so much like Snickers, where we want him all the time. The issue is that when people saw Moses, they couldn't look at it. And the thing is, when people see God's goodness, we're not at that place. It creates something in us. When we see God's goodness, we see how dirty and rotten we are. When we see God's goodness, we see how far we don't measure up. The trouble is that we are not good. In fact, Jesus makes this statement. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? The guy who comes to Jesus and says, good teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus says this, why are you calling me good? Do you remember what he says next? Only one is good. That is God. Only God is good. And this is where we run into this issue. Because we aren't good, but God is good. But this is the good news. I used a lot of goods then. This is the good news that God loves you anyway. God cares for you anyway. God wants what's best for you, despite the fact that you're no good. Do you ever have those times when you just sit and look at yourself and you think, how? How can God love me? I'm such a messed up human being. I haven't found an answer for that, except that God is good and he loves me in spite of me. It's like my wife. She loves me in spite of me. At least she says. But we know what we like, don't we? This is why I think that God, isn't more like Snickers to us. It's because we have this conflict of, I'm not good, but God is good. How can we make the connection? You see, the thing is, as I think about this day, and I think about those heroes that are willing to give their lives, whether it's in the emergency services, whether it's in the armed forces, I think, you know what, as people, we can do good things, can't we? We can do the best of things. But the problem is, sometimes we don't do it with the best of motives. Or something's still wrong. No matter how good a thing you can do, there's still something fundamentally wrong with us. Let me tell you a story to explain what I mean. There was once a young man who had his date in the car. And they went to KFC, which is Kentucky Fried Gluten, as we all know. And they ordered one of these big buckets of chicken, you know, these big buckets of, I can't believe it's not chicken. And as the young man got out to the car, he opened it up and he looks inside and there's about $9,000 worth of cash. It was the manager's takings for the day that he was going to take to the bank. And the man in the car, he looks at his date and says, excuse me, I need to go back in. And he takes this bucket of money back to the manager and says, sir, you know what? You gave me this by mistake. And the manager is just like, whoa, dude, are you seriously bringing me my $9,000 back? Wow, I can't believe it. This type of honesty is not found in these days. Let me call up the local newspaper. Give me your name so that I can tell them. The young man says, no, thank you. I just want my bucket of chicken. And the manager is like, no, seriously, this is a huge deal. You have just saved my butt from being fired. And the guy says, no, just give me the chicken. And the guy is getting more mad and more mad. And finally, the manager says, look, just give me the name, give me your name, the name of your friend in the car, and we'll be good. And the man says, you see, that's the problem. My wife is at home. And this is my girlfriend. So give me my chicken and go. As people, we can do good things, right? We can do good things. We can return $9,000. But the fact that we're having an affair is still messed up. This is why I think we struggle to find God as desirable, if you like, as Snickers. But God's goodness is so good because he treats us as we don't deserve. So my question for you and for myself this morning is, how do we show people God's goodness? We talk about how good he is. We're messed up. How do we show God's goodness? Have you ever noticed something? Who here has got like a best friend? Or a couple of best friends? You're allowed to have more than one. That is acceptable, you know. Who has someone they hang out with a whole lot? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your... Have you ever noticed... Thanks, Dennis. I saw your arm go up very quickly once I mentioned the word spouse. I would be the same. Have you ever noticed, though, as you hang out with them, that you tend to maybe pick up a saying or two that they say? I've got to be honest with you. When I was younger, I had a bit of a nasty habit. I used to say certain words that I shouldn't say. In fact, no one should say them. And I'm not going to repeat them here, thankfully. Otherwise, I'd get fired. But I used to hang out with one of my friends who said those kind of things a lot. And as I was hanging out with him, I would notice just how easily those words would come to me. And yet, if like he went away for a while, or if I went away for a while, I found that those words wouldn't come to me very often. Have you ever noticed how you pick up characteristics of other people who you hang around with a lot? I see you shaking your head there, Johan. When you get older, you'll say, man, that was so much like my dad. I'm sorry, it'll happen, it'll happen. Oh man, that is so something my mum would say. I say that all the time. When you hang around someone, you pick up their characteristics. How is it that we can share God's goodness with others? I have here a soccer ball, as you may have noticed. It's not just any kind of soccer ball. This is a Night Bright soccer ball. Would you mind just, is anyone afraid of the dark? No? Okay, we're good. The lights are on in the family room, so we'll have a little bit of light. Could you just kill the lights for a second there, Eric? It's kind of so-so. Can anyone see it glowing? Not really. Can you flick the lights back on for me, Eric? Let me just try this for a minute. See, this soccer ball is hanging out with this light. That's kind of an unusual way of putting it, isn't it? But the soccer ball is hanging out with this light. And it's spending time with this light. And the light is bright because the light is a globe. And can you tell I'm just kind of filling in time here and I'm just mumbling, mainly because, you know, if people are listening and not seeing, then it's kind of, yeah, then it kind of, yeah. Anyway, stop babbling, Cal. Stop babbling. Get on with it. All right, let's see what happens now. Can you see the ooh, it's like we're at the fireworks on the 4th of July. You can see the ball is glowing. Why is the ball glowing? Because it spent time in the light. Thanks, Eric. You can flick those back on now so that we can see our way out. It's the same with God. God's goodness is like a yummy Snickers. And when you hang out with it, you catch a glimpse of it. And when you catch a glimpse of it, your face starts to glow. I don't know about you, but you guys been on one of those awesome roller coasters? No? Yeah. When you go on those roller coasters, right, when you get off, you're just like, dude, that was so cool. Let's go again. And then when you see your friend, you're like, hey, man, I just went on this most awesome ride. It is the best, right? You know what I'm talking about? When you connect with God's goodness, that sort of stuff happens. You just can't help but talk about it. You begin to glow. It creates some issues, though. Because remember back to the story of Moses? People were like, dude, put that away. But God's goodness is so good. The Snickers is so good, although it's not good for you. But God is. And when we hang out with God, we can't help but talk about it, and it becomes a part of us. And His goodness helps us to become a glow in the dark Snickers. You get what I'm saying? God's goodness helps us to become a glow-in-the-dark, healthy Snickers. So this morning, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he loves you. Whatever you've done, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. He loves you, he died for you, and he wants what is best for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This morning and this week, I want to encourage you to bask in the awesome goodness of God, because God is good.